Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome, and thank you for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. This is Rick Rittma, your hard-working mortgage guy at Advisors Mortgage Group. The best way to get a hold of me is at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. If you have any mortgage questions, that'd be a great way to get a hold of me, and we can talk about any questions you have. You're looking at refinancing, purchasing, anything that you're looking to do as far as mortgage. We'd love to talk it through with you and help you make, you know, the strategy that you need to make everything work. Now, one of the things that you have to have if you own a home, along obviously there's a lot of things that you have to have, but one of the most important things, and one of the things that in times past has caused closings not to happen. So somebody buying a home, they don't close on time because they don't have their homeowner's insurance in place. They waited too long. So I look for everybody I work with, I look for the gurus out there. I look for the people who really know their industry, really understand their industry, and have tremendous ratings from their customers, because we want to make sure everybody's taken care of. And I have an insurance person here today. It's Simon Sefton. He is a insurance guru. He's the agency owner of Goosehead. Simon, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to be here, Rick.
Thank you. And could you give a little overview, maybe a little bit of your background?
Okay.
Where you've come from? I know you really know insurance, but I don't. You know, one of the things I'm always interested in is why somebody chose a certain career path.
Yeah. So my background has always been in financial services of some kind, but I spent 25 of the last 30 years in London as a commodity broker on the exchange floor. I really enjoyed the job. It was very successful, but ultimately the open outcry dissipated into a kind of computers only type environment, which didn't really suit me. And we lost our competitive advantage. So I was in that for a long time, but when we moved over here 5 years ago, I tried to get back into that field without any success. I think really you need to be based in Chicago or New York for that. So I looked for other things in the financial services, and Goosehead contacted me via LinkedIn about 3.5 years ago. It took me a while to make the decision to jump in, but I did finally, and I'm very glad I did.
Okay, so you're from England.
I am.
Yes. So you you came over to the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it that drew you over here?
Oh, so I'm actually married to a woman from Indianapolis. My wife Haley. There, she was born in Southport, Southport, Indiana. She's got some health issues in her family, so that's one of the reasons that we found ourselves over here.
Okay. How do you like Indianapolis?
I prefer Carmel, but yeah.
I like the entire area. I grew up in Indianapolis and went to North Central High School. I moved to Carmel years ago just because that's where we found a house. But I like the entire area. I do like living in Carmel, but I also like Indianapolis. And I really love the South Side. We like to visit here. There's some great restaurants, things like that. Just like there is in Indianapolis and downtown Indianapolis. I mean, yes, not Chicago or New York, but it's not Chicago or New York.
No. Carmel isn't London either, but we really like it there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So let's get into the insurance and talking about insurance. And I think one of the big questions people have is, you know, how are these insurance rates calculated?
Yeah. So, there's thousands of insurance companies, and they all have different ways of looking at various risks. But these are some of the, I'm going to talk about some of the main things that they look at when they're determining, you know, your basic HO3 or homeowners policy premium. So one of the areas that they're going to look at straight away is your neighbourhood. They look at geographic variables, population density, crime rates, you know, whether there's any natural disasters, you know, in your state or in your zip code. Those things are really important. Then they're going to start looking at the home. They're going to look at how the home is constructed, what the sidings are made of. They're going to look at how, you know, what your roof is made of. They're going to look at your demographics as well. They're going to start looking at whether you're single, married, whether you're divorced, how many people live in the home. All of these things, but you know, they do make a difference. They look at your credit score as well. When we're writing policies, we don't actually check your credit, but we do look at what is called an insurance score, which is slightly different from a credit score, and it doesn't appear on your credit either. They're going to look at how much you want to pay in terms of a deductible. So the higher the deductible, the lower the premium, and vice versa. A lot of people in Indiana will tend to go for a higher deductible for wind and hail as well. They're definitely going to look at your claims history. I always do tell people not to call in a claim unless you're sure that you're going to make it. If you call in just to see whether the claim is viable or not, usually that's going to appear on your record going forward as a $0 claim. So that would affect your premium down the road. So try to avoid doing that. There's also obviously different home types. Most of the policies that we write here in Indiana, particularly outside of downtown, they're going to be either condo policies or HO3 homeowner policies. They look at things like attractive nuisances, which are all things that really are going to increase premium if they allow them at all. So these are things like swimming pools. With pools as well, they're going to look at, you know, whether there's diving boards, whether there's slides there. They're going to need to know that it's fenced, usually. Tree houses, trampolines, all big no-nos for insurance. They're all going to cause a red flag, or possibly, make you ineligible. And, a big thing as well is roof age. Roof age and roof material is one of the biggest factors in the determination of homeowner premium.
Okay. It's very interesting. Obviously, the credit score that we use for mortgages is different than the credit score that you're going to use for insurance. But it's important. So how in this, where you look at a credit score, you look at their claims history, you look at, you know, what the insurance they've had before. What about a first time home buyer?
Okay, so we'll look at their we'll look at their previous or current address.
Okay.
We'll look at the previous address, but other than that, we'll treat them, you know, exactly the same as a regular HO3. But probably they need a slightly more education in the insurance world. So.
Okay.
We'd endeavor to do that as well.
Okay. So a first-time home buyer is treated the same way. So there's no real issues. You just have to, you look at their current house that they're, or wherever they're currently living. What if they don't have insurance on either they don't have renter's insurance, or they're living in their, you know, that maybe they're still living at home. They're transitioning. Does that matter?
No. They're just going to literally just check under their, you know, current address and possibly a second address if they've been at that one for less than 2 years.
Okay. So very much like what we do for a mortgage.
Yeah.
We look at 2 years history, and that's what we look at. So as somebody's thinking about, or, you know, maybe they have insurance, they would like to talk to another insurance agent, or maybe they're looking to buy a house and they want insurance, what's the best way for them to contact you to find out, you know, what you have to offer?
Well, I can be reached at 317-522-6910. But we offer all the personal lines. There are discounts available for the more policies you can bundle or package together. Things like boats, RVs, motorhomes. We do flood policies. We do life insurance. We do all of the personal lines. So, yeah, you know, my phone number is always the best way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. And it's Simon Sefton, S-E-F-T-O-N. So Simon Sefton.
Yep.
And what's the number again?
It's 317-522-6910.
Perfect. Appreciate that. And I'm Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy. And if you'd like to get a hold of me for any mortgage needs, it's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And after the break, we're going to talk more about homeowners insurance, you know, some of the specifics about homeowners insurance, so you're better prepared when you decide to shop for insurance.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Ritma.
Welcome back. This is Rick Ritma, your hard-working mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group. If you would like to get a hold of me, if you have mortgage questions, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And we're here today talking with Simon Sefton. He's the agency owner of Goosehead Insurance. And we talked about, you know, how insurance rates are calculated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing I wanted to talk about, another piece of this is, you know, what kind of discounts are generally available for somebody?
Yeah. So one of the biggest discounts that we can offer is obviously the home and the auto together. So that's one of the biggest discounts. It's usually between 10% and 20%, and it can be on either end, you know, on both ends actually. So on the home and on the auto. So they really try to encourage that. But outside of that, there's a discount for being married. There's a discount if you're above 65 years of age. There's an HOA discount. There's definitely a discount for current and past military service. There's a discount if you've got a driving age kid that's away from school. That's also quite a big discount. And there's also a discount for young drivers in terms of their GPA.
It's kind of interesting. You got me tongue-tied there. It's kind of interesting because you've got all these discounts, and obviously they want you to bundle. They want the car and the yeah. home. So that's obviously that sounds like a huge one because you get it on both ends.
Yeah.
Is there anything if they have a security system, anything like that? Are there discounts?
They are definitely discounted. Yeah, depending on really whether it's monitored or not. So they'll give a minimal discount just for having a system. If it turns out it's you know there's someone on the other end looking at what's going on at your house and it's monitored, then that's a much more significant discount.
Okay. There's a lot of those services out there. Does it matter which service you use, or is it just whatever you just use a service?
No, it doesn't matter. But it's got to be monitored to get the biggest discount.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they want it monitored for fire and theft and all of that, or is it
fire and burglary particularly? Yes.
And this is kind of off what we're talking about. But what's the biggest area of claims on a home?
Wind and hail, weather.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest in terms of number of claims, and it's nearly always the biggest claim amounts involved.
Oh, really?
Involved with those. Yeah, unless you're talking about losing your whole home, you know, having a new roof after a hailstorm is one of the most common things. Yeah.
Okay, that's why years ago the insurance company I was with, they all of a sudden raised my deductible on my roof, different than the deductible on my house.
Yeah.
And that's why they must have done that, because that's what it's expensive.
Yeah.
And at the time I had a cedar shingle roof. I don't have that anymore, but I had a cedar shingle roof, and that must have probably made it even more expensive.
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, also, do you get like a non-smoker? You get a non-smoker discount? Is that something
else? Depending on which carrier we're looking at, yeah. I work with over 50 carriers, so you know, they all have different rules and different intricacies in terms of how they pay discounts. But generally speaking, that there is either a discount involved, or if you're a smoker, then your premium is going to be a little bit higher.
Okay, and then the other thing I noticed, and I think this is accurate, when I used to work for a new home builder, and it seemed like the new home, a brand new home, got a little better pricing than an existing home.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yeah. But in terms of insurance, the newer the better.
Okay, so a 3-year-old home is going to get better insurance than a 10-year-old home?
If it was exactly the same type of home in exactly the same address, then yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how it works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I don't really understand how that all works. And then you said over 65, so I've got that to look forward to in a few years.
you're not alone there. Don't worry.
get a discount on that.
Yeah.
So what about, you know, does the – well, I had a friend who I think it was last year or the year before. His house was one of the houses in the fires in Colorado, and it burned it to the ground.
Okay.
Right before that happened, and before they designated the fire that did that to his house, an alert or a danger where you couldn't raise your deductible. He was talking to somebody, and they said, you know, you really, because of the price of the price of construction now, the additional cost for labor and all that, you need to raise your not deductible, but raise what they're going to pay.
The coverage A for the dwelling.
Yes.
Yes.
And so he did that. And like 3 days later, 5 days later, that fire came through and burned him down. And most of his neighbors never did that, but he did it right then. So he was telling me, tell everybody to do that. What is that? Is it with the actual cash value or replacement cost?
So, I mean, in insurance, there are really two ways that insurance is going to pay out. One is replacement cost, which means that we'll be giving you the money to replace things, you know, at today's values, no depreciation factored in, or there is actual cash value. ACV. So this is exactly what it, you know, what it says. It's including depreciation. So, you know, we try not to, unless there's a specific request, we try to not to write any coverages of any sort with ACV.
Yeah, I can see that's a pretty big negative.
Yeah.
It's
a big deal. I mean, you see it a lot on roofs. I mean, you know, they'll frequently, for a 5 or 10 year roof age, they'll frequently knock between 30% or 40% off what they'd be paying you, you know, if it's not on replacement cost.
Right, because they figure the roof's 20, 25 years probably. Something.
15 to 20 is when they start really regarding it as being old.
Okay. Does it depend on the material that's on the roof? Yes.
Yeah. And again, it's something that varies from company to company.
Okay. So if somebody's listening, what one of the things you're saying is they should check that, make sure they have actual cash value, not replacement cost. That's critically important.
Yeah, you do not want replacement cost. I'm getting confused.
No.
Yeah, ACV. You definitely don't want that. You're leaving yourself open to the insurance companies to pay you less than they probably should be. Replacement cost is always the way to go. You still might have to wrangle in the event of a claim. You still might have to wrangle with the insurance company, but you're going to get much closer to what you should be getting.
And so, if somebody wants to maybe do that with their own policy, check and see if you can get them a better pricing, how would they get a hold of you?
So you can get me on my email, obviously, simon.sefton. So that's simon.sef. for Frank, T-O-N, at goosehead.com. So simon.sefton at goosehead, all one word, G-O-O-S-E.com.
Perfect. Or they can call the 317-522-6910?
Yeah.
10, not 110.
Yes.
Yeah, that's 317-522-6910. Now, what about if somebody has like a diamond necklace or jewelry, is that usually covered fully under their homeowner's insurance?
Yeah, I mean, expensive items, you know, any type of valuable, actually. It's usually watches or jewelry. Again, the insurance company looks at all of those differently, but generally speaking, any item, any single value over $2,000-$2,500, again, depending on the company, those are going to need a written appraisal or a recent receipt. Otherwise, you've got standard coverage of $2,000-$2,500 to cover all of those things. So, you know, if you have a watch that's worth $5,000 or an expensive ring, for example, those things will not be covered as standard on a home policy. They will need to be added as an endorsement.
Oh, okay. So if they had a Rolex watch or they have a diamond necklace, they would want to have, and that's going to raise your insurance a little bit, obviously, because they're covering that additional cost.
Yeah, yes, they are. So in something like that, if you don't have the watch insured properly, i.e. you don't have a receipt, etc., and the watch is just going to be covered as per normal on the policy, you know, you're only going to get a fraction of what it's worth.
Yeah, so that's really good advice. Now, what about I think everybody wonders, what does your standard homeowner's insurance policy cover? What kind of disaster or perils does it cover?
Okay, so the main ones are, you know, even for the basic home policies, you're gonna cover smoke, explosion, hail, riot. Some of them will cover vandalism. Theft is obviously included. Then you've got things like accidental water damage, which is usually something like a leaking appliance or a burst pipe inside the home. A lot of the insurance companies are selling like equipment breakdown coverage. So this covers, it's an endorsement, so it costs a little bit more. But in my opinion, if you don't have a home warranty, it's really worthwhile. But it will cover anything that runs on electricity inside the home. So as well as the regular things like laundry appliances, kitchen appliances, covers AC, it covers computers, TV screens, etc., etc. So they offer that as an endorsement. And if you don't have a home warranty, then, you know, that's something that you should probably consider, especially, you know, during storm season.
Now, if you get a spike in your electric and it blows out, let's say, the TV, would that normally be covered under that type of policy?
No, not generally covered. Okay. No, it's going to be, you know, you really need this endorsement to make sure. So if you're talking about surge and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, but the endorsement would cover it.
Yes.
So if you don't have it,
yeah,
it's not covered.
Yeah.
If you do have it, then it's most likely covered.
Yeah.
That's probably pretty good, because I think surges aren't unusual.
No.
And it doesn't require a storm. It just happens.
Yeah, it's any electrical breakdown. So it's actually a really good coverage to have. So it's probably on an average, you know, Indiana average type of home, I would say it would be less than sort of $5 or $6 a month. So very, definitely worthwhile.
Now, one of the things I've heard people say, I don't know if it's really needed, and I've never followed the advice, but they say you should once a year, like, video your contents of your house or take pictures. Is that for insurance? Is that really necessary?
I think doing that is a good idea. I don't think, honestly, that you need to do it once a year. I would say maybe every 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't think it needs to be done yearly.
Okay. Well, for me...
But it's definitely a good idea. I mean, if you asked most people, they wouldn't really have an idea of what actually their personal property is inside the home. So it's, you know, it's definitely worthwhile, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't remember.
No.
It's amazing. We remodeled our kitchen, and there's things that we find that we didn't realize.
Yeah.
You know, we forgot about. It just, we forgot that we had them.
Yeah.
Because you don't see them out of sight, out of mind. And I'm sure you make your claim on insurance, and probably a year or two later, if you don't have something to verify, I had that, and I never did that. You know, that could be a big problem. And I'm guessing most people don't realize how much stuff they actually have, or what's the value of all this stuff.
Everybody has more than they think they have. You know, that personal property covers everything like furniture and appliances and, you know, literally every belonging. If you were to tip the home up, you know, pick it up, tip it over, it would be everything that fell out of the home. And, you know, most people definitely end up having, you know, much more than they think they have.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's amazing, because when you know how much stuff you have is the day you move.
Yes, that's it, exactly.
Because then you know exactly how much stuff you have.
Yeah.
Now, what about, you know, my wife is an animal lover. She just loves animals. What about if you have a dog, or a, you know, is there, does it matter whether you have a dog, or does it have to be a dangerous dog?
If you've got a 5-pound dog and it's never bitten anybody, you're supposed to tell the insurance company, but they're not going to be worried about that type of you know, dog at all. They're really looking at a specific number of breeds. But how they'll treat those breeds, they'll either say no, completely ineligible as a home policy, or they'll let you write the policy, but the dog will be excluded. So if the dog were to bite somebody down the road, your liability coverage would not extend to that. Or they can say, yeah, we don't mind pit bulls or Akitas or whoever. As long as they've not bitten anybody, they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I know that a lot of dog breeds get bad names, and I'm not dogs have always somewhat scared me. I was bit several times when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And but I know that I mean, I've had friends who've had pit bulls, and their pit bulls are fine. They're nice. There's no problem. Or German Shepherd is probably the one I'm most scared of.
Really?
Yeah.
I got bitten by a German Shepherd when I was 5 or 6 as well.
Yeah. I was bitten twice by one, and it's just by a different one. But it's just, I still have, you know. But anyway, I just wondered. So, but there are also very nice German Shepherds, and it's, but you'd have no way, an insurance company has no way to tell whether you have a nice or not.
No.
Now, what about an umbrella policy? I know I added an umbrella policy a few years ago, but what is an umbrella policy, and then what does it cover?
So it's an extra layer of liability coverage, basically. So it goes on top of your home and your auto. So your auto liability is probably, well, will be actually, because you need 500 to qualify for an umbrella. So your auto liability will be 500 from your policy, plus an additional million from the umbrella. And the same goes for the home. That's also got 500 of liability on it, generally speaking, to qualify. So it's going to give you an extra layer in the event of a lawsuit, basically. So it gives you, if you're a 500, 250, 500 person on your auto, and you've got 500 on the home, you're effectively, you've got $1.5 million of liability for both of those products.
Do you see many people who have claims at that level?
Not very many.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Now, if your insurance, your homeowner said, no, we're not insuring your dog, but then you had an umbrella policy, would that cover that situation?
No.
No.
The umbrella is only covering what's on the home policy and the auto policy.
Oh, okay. So it's just an addition to. I did not know that.
Yeah. So yes, it's an addition. It's a standalone policy. Most people get one when they go for home and auto, but it's a standalone policy. Yeah.
Okay. So what about somebody who has guns? Is the homeowner's policy covering guns? The umbrella policy?
Yeah. Again. Depending on the carrier, they all have different sub limits. So, as we were speaking about just now, jewelry and watches, that type of thing, has a sub limit of 2,000 to 2,500. The firearms has the same thing, as do, you know, fine arts, expensive rugs, you know, standout pieces like that.
Okay. So if somebody has guns, they're covered.
They're covered up to the sub limit. Again, that depends on the carrier, but we can give them additional coverage for those types of things, yeah, and they will also be covered under the umbrella.
Okay.
The
more you add is the better, because it does help. It makes sense. So if somebody's looking to get insurance, maybe they want to shop what they have currently, or they need to add insurance. How should they get a hold of you?
Yep. So my phone number is 317-522-6910. And my email is simon@goosehead.com.
So goose is just like the goose, and then head.
Goosehead is GOOSEHEAD, all one word, .com.
All right. Perfect. Yeah, I just know that there's insurance is one of those things I can tell you from my own experience, you put off shopping.
Yeah.
You get it, and then every year, it just seems to go up and up and up and up and up. And so
ultimately, that's what the big insurance companies do tend to do, unfortunately. If you don't check your insurance, you know, on a regular basis, I would suggest, you know, either 1 year or every 2 years, then unfortunately, that's just the... I'm sad to say, the nature of the business. They will do that to you. So, you know, please check, you know, no more than every 2 years.
Awesome. If you need to get a hold of me, it's Rick Ritma at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a great day.